Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's shift our attention to the Rangers, especially since the second day of legal tampering
has been a
big bag of nothing so far, right?
Fix it.
All right.
Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
I expect the Cowboys to fix it today.
Okay. Let's see how that goes. By the way, speaking of legal tampering, do you kind of hate the Raiders just a little bit for taking Dean and Walker?
Yeah. But it's smart. I didn't really want Quay Walker, but
supposedly that's who the Cowboys wanted more.
Hey, you know, they didn't get him, so I can say that now. But like, that wasn't necessarily the dude that I wanted. I didn't want the whole Packers defense on our defense.
Right.
I was like, hey, can we not get all the Packers? But I guess they're like, no, we want more Packers. But N'Kobe Dean, listen, I probably started thinking too highly of him after really watching his work. And then forgetting still about the injury history. So maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't work out for him completely somewhere. I mean, he misses a big game that's important to the Raiders. And the Cowboys benefit from that. But the fact is, you are still light at that position. And you need to figure out a way to make that, to rectify and correct that immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we turn our attention back to the Rangers, I was reading an article, and this one, it really stuck with me. It was from Sports Illustrated, and it says, one potential Achilles heel for every MLB team this season. And do you ever see one of those articles, and you're like, I hope it's not what I'm already thinking?
And then it is.
Because then that will just make me feel worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you scroll down, you have to get through the AL East, and you're like, I don't give a crap about the AL East.
What do you mean you don't give a crap about the AL East?
Because that's not the AL West.
You got to go, you and the AL East have to compete for the World Series, maybe.
Maybe. That is true. You get down to the Rangers, and unfortunately,
it is
the bullpen.
Oh, interesting. I have a different one.
Okay. So, the Rangers bullpen last year was tied for second in Major League Baseball with 29 blown saves.
Did you not see Garcia, though?
I did.
In a high-leverage situation.
I know. That was a very high-leverage situation.
Non-meaningful to the Rangers game.
That's true, but he got out of it. So Texas didn't have a single pitcher with double-digit saves last year.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a second. We didn't have one pitcher who got to 10 saves, and you're going into this season without an obvious choice for the closing duties once again. And then, who's one of the pitchers that we talked about as being a high-leverage option for the Rangers? Alexis Diaz. This is staggering. On Sunday, Alexis Diaz threw 17 pitches. He only threw 8 for strikes. Except I'm just kidding. He threw 5 for strikes.
Except for you're just kidding.
Except for I'm just kidding again, and this time I'm being for real, for real. He threw 17 pitches, and 3 of them were strikes. He did not get a single Angels batter out. He gave up a hit a person, and 3 walks. In 3 official outings this spring, he's given up 4 walks and a home run.
He's working on things, is what people will say.
Okay, well, my argument against that is you're working for a very specific position. Corey Seager, I get it. Players like that, I get it. Alexis Diaz, he is not locked in his spot, especially for a leverage spot whatsoever. And the fact that he has just been atrocious in limited spring play thus far, that makes me worried.
Kevin, I would like to make an announcement according to Tom Pelissero. Source says the Lions are signing Isaiah Pacheco, who is fascinatingly
your Montgomery
fast and hard runner, very similar to Gibbs in the fact that he is fast and runs hard. I think Gibbs has a lot more like jiggle to his game. I don't know.
Your thoughts on that, Alec?
Not the word I would use.
Good old Gibby.
Yeah. But yeah, Gibby. Throw that in there. Okay, so Alexis Diaz, I don't know that I was putting a lot of stock in him, and I think you aren't either. Because we were both in the mindset, and I think Alec it was too, this mindset of Alexis Diaz, if he can. When you throw that if on there as the qualifier,
yeah. You
got problems. You're telling me the whole bullpen is an if right now.
So I have positive stories too.
Okay.
Mark Church. Mark Church might finally be all the way back from his injury issues. He's dealt with an oblique strain, elbow inflammation, and then he had a torn muscle in the back of his shoulder last year. Only had 12 innings. That was going to be like his year. I know the year before we were hoping it was going to be his year, and it just wasn't. And so he's close. He threw live batting practice on Saturday, and he hit 97.
Uh-oh.
In a bullpen session, he got up to 98. So he's going to be in a minor league exhibition game or two before getting in an A game per Evan Grant with about 10 days to go before the opening rosters are set. And Evan Carter kind of told us about this at spring training. You'll have the A game in the stadium, but you'll have a B game, an intra-squad game, simulated, whatever you want to call it, because there's different variations that you can have out there, and that will tell you a lot of information as well. And so we're getting close. He has just freaking electric stuff, and that's why I'm hoping that, like, it's smooth sailing from here. And the results match the stuff in the exhibitions. And then you get up to the A game and you get, what, 2-3 appearances? And you're like, yeah, we have to have. It's kind of the Teodo thought. You have to. That's what Skip Schumacher said. You need him to kick down the door. And we've waited.
I have arrived. Yes. This is my time.
We have waited.
Show me. I just
so
did.
Long.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that we're there. Can I tell you about a couple of other guys really quick?
I want to ask a question
first,
Kevin. From the 903, because I feel like we've had three different people tell us the answer of why this isn't the case. I don't know why it's so hard to put Rocker at the closer. Has the name of a closer with a badass walkout song? Am I the only one seeing this? Or seeing what he could be? His velo, in my opinion, doesn't put him in closer place. Like I feel like I need a little bit more. I'm maybe a 97. He's in the 95 range. But I feel like we talked to Mike, talked to Jared, we talked to Kennedy, and we all kind of got the similar answers of we just need to see like him be closed down guy, shut door guy.
I think that's true.
And they also still want him to be a starter.
And that's what I think the bigger part of it is. When push comes to shove, if all things are equal, you'll always go for starter over closer. And that's where the Rangers are right now. I hear you, but they have not shut the door on him even being starter number 5 coming out of spring training. I still think it looks like it's Latz's to lose right now. But you always default to, let's see if he can be a starter instead of a closer. Think about it. Jake Latz has been an excellent option out of the bullpen. What did they do the first chance they got? Hey, you're a starter.
Yeah.
And so you'll always default to giving him all the chances to be a starter. I'm not going to rule out that won't happen eventually, but I still think you're a good year.
Yeah, he's still so young
away from that.
They're going to continue to push for that for sure.
All right, I got three other guys. Tyler Alexander, Peyton Gray, and Josh Spores. Now, speaking of somebody coming back from an injury, the belief was that Spores would start the season in the minor league because he had shoulder surgery and everything like that. But he already is back up to 93. He had 93 in a perfect seventh inning the other day. He's made four consecutive scoreless appearances this spring, pitching every third day. The thought is he's ahead of schedule, and he might be ready to break camp as part of the bullpen. Couple of other, these are less heralded people to take a look at. Peyton Gray and Tyler Alexander. Tyler Alexander, as of, I believe, yesterday, he hadn't allowed a run in four spring outings, and he was also looking good fielding the ball. And then for Peyton Gray, scoreless streak, 7 2/3 innings so far this spring. So I know it's a limited sample size, but that's all you've got to judge right now. So while I am still really concerned about the bullpen, Gray, Alexander, hopefully Church, and the progression of Spores are some things to potentially positively build on.
Alexander is a 3.5 strikeout to walk career guy. Mm-hmm. Last 2 years, it's been 2.9, 2.7. So he's below, actually it was 2.5.
So you need to bump that back up.
It was 2.5 the year before that too. So he's been well under his strikeout. If you're going to be in that bullpen,
sure.
Like if you're going to be a soft toss arm that can do something like, you know, get some guys out. But you need
middle
to be
relief.
Able to, need to be one of those guys that you're like, you're really closing doors on some dudes whenever given that opportunity. I would like to see that from him. Good personality, too.
Sure.
As you said, with the nosebleeds.
Now, when I said bullpen, it was very clear that was not your answer for Achilles heel for the Rangers. So where are you at in terms of, I feel this is the Achilles heel?
Because I felt like the pitching was decent last year. And understand in big moments,
for sure,
you need bullpen. Bullpen is kicker.
Okay.
In big moment, I need you. Most of the time, hey, chill out, bro.
Okay.
Hang out in the bullpen and do your thing. But I think something that I just don't have an answer for right now, and there's only one way to get that answer, that is the potential at DH. I don't know what to expect from it, and it could be a hole in the lineup like it was last year. Like the Jock Peterson at DH is a hole for me right now because I have no clue.
I get it.
And honestly, currently, I feel like his spring isn't going exceptionally well right now either. If McCutcheon's going to be the complement to him, because we are going to let Evan Carter and Josh Smith go ahead and swing away Mitch or Merrill, we're going to let them do their thing, then, hey, this is McCutcheon's supposed to be that complement. Nice to see McCutcheon say, as Skip says, he proved on day one he's still got it. But Kevin,
that's doing a lot of work.
Your DH, and it could be Higgy. There could be a lot of different names that get put into, like, if Higgy's got a day off, maybe it's not a complete day off, it's DH mode. But a lot of names, I need to get 30 home runs out of the DH spot.
Okay.
I would love.
Man, that's a big step up.
Especially with what you have right now. There's no proof that I'm going to be able to get anything like that from my DH position. And that's supposed to be a position that can hit for power. Your job is, you don't have to do all the other stuff. You need to step up to the plate. But the Rangers have decided your DH is a rotational position now. This is a guy that we just, if a guy very similar to Higgy, we have multiple catchers. Higgy told us the other day, he was like, I think the position is kind of not built for an everyday catcher anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the way that we do it.
That was an interesting statement.
But the way that the Rangers have done it the last few years is we're going to rotate that guy in. Now, Boach came out of the National League. He didn't have a DH. He wasn't reliant on somebody that just crushed like that. So in World Series, that's how they did it. They were just like, we'll just move guys around. But then whenever he had it, they said, we're going to do that way. I need something that's going to provide me with consistent run production, especially where I want them in the meat of the lineup. So, Kevin, for me, this Achilles heel could be maybe you have your top four in Wyatt and Nimmo and Seager and Berger. That's what it sounds like those top four are. But what's going to help you with that run production after that? And that DH spot has to be that something like that. But the way the Rangers built it, it's not.
Now, I wanted to throw in a side note real quick. I believe it was yesterday, Greg Amsinger from MLB Network said his big-time trade for the prediction for the Rangers was that they'll trade Jacob deGrom. He said, as much as I love the rotation, I don't think the lineup is going to score enough runs. Lord knows we're all familiar with
it. They have to prove that they can. They have to prove they can until they – And honestly, Skip is kind of telling them the same thing.
Yeah.
Y'all have a lot to prove to me because it's a clean slate. I'm not sure what y'all are capable of.
So he said, I got 76 wins on them, and I think they're going to move on from Jacob deGrom at the trade deadline. Obviously, that would be disappointing for a couple of different reasons.
Look, man, if Nimmo's going to hit a stand-up triple on every at-bat and still not be able to get home, I have concerns.
That is fair. With a KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we've got NFL playoff, or excuse me, free agency, overreaction or reality plus Masterpiece Theater. What was the last ass-kicking movie you saw and really, really liked? Next on The Fan.
First and 10, Jones going deep. Oh, he's got him. He's got Pierce. Caught. Greg Moss to the 21.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time for some NFL free agency overreaction or reality. Then we got Masterpiece of the Week coming up. Excuse me, Masterpiece Theater coming up. What is the last super kick-ass movie that you saw and really, really liked? But I'm going to start with this. Overreaction or reality. You really liked the job the Cowboys did on day one of free agency.
I liked it. Really liked is would need, Ooh, I would need okay. to make sure we secured another position to make me feel comfortable at linebacker. The addition of Rashawn Gary, this is, I think I saw John Owning said this feels like they're going to go by pass rush by committee, where they're just going to rotate mm-hmm. bodies in and out, and because they don't have a specialty guy right now.
Yeah.
Is Ezeraku prepared for a position like that where he is that specialty edge guy as opposed to a run stopper on the other side? At the moment, we don't know. So I think that's where I am right now is I love the Jalen Thompson move.
Yeah.
Really love it a lot. He is a player that makes this secondary so much better. I love Donovan Wilson, Kevin. I did. I just, the fit for what I needed wasn't there. You had a dude that was a heat-seeking missile, and that was his card. You know, other than that, we kind of, you know, were in the 50s and 60s on his grade, for, in my opinion, for a lot of other things. So I liked it.
Okay, but not really, liked it. Alec, overreaction or reality, you really liked the job the Cowboys did on day one of free agency.
I'm going to say reality for a specific reason. One, I do love the move that they did actually make in bringing in Jalen Thompson. We did the whole breakdown on him, and it was nice that we were out in front of that because I did get my hopes up a little bit too high after watching him and, you know, thinking about what the fit could be. I just was like, this is going to happen, and I got way too confident, so I'm glad it happened. But I will say reality because I'm glad they didn't overextend their boundaries on some of these players because I think the edge market got way overinflated this offseason. Like, incredibly overinflated. And you can thank a lot of that towards Jalen Phillips. That deal that he got from Carolina is absurd.
Okay, pause. Then my bonus question to go along with all of that is, that Jalen Phillips deal.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
is going to turn out to be terrible.
Reality.
He hasn't, his career high is 8.5 sacks. Last year, he had 5. And that was playing a whole season.
He is the prototype build. Okay? Like, he is the prototype build for what you want. He has played 17 games one time. Here are the amount of games he has played before. Actually, I'm sorry. He has started 17 games one time. He's missed 9 and 13 games in 2 consecutive seasons and then played fully healthy last year. Well, in a fully healthy season, he had 5 sacks.
Yeah.
So what? Why am I paying that much money? He's a prototype build, and at a young age, he was able to put up 8.5 and 7 sacks consecutively. That's what they're looking and hoping that they have a guy who's 26 years old, built like that, and has a remaining career up until he's 30 of being healthy. I just don't see it happening.
Alec, fair to say, since you said absurd, that this is a stupid deal.
Yeah, banking on upside and athleticism, I understand, but at over $100 million, I don't understand why you would do that. Now, I understand that the argument is going to be, well, it was low production, but he was a rotational guy, so he was doing a lot in his little bit of time. Sure, now you're going to ask him to play 3 downs.
Right.
That's a very, very different ballgame for a guy that hasn't been available.
NFL overreaction or reality, you kind of hate the Raiders for taking N'Kobe Dean and Quay Walker yesterday.
A little bit.
I think that's fair.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Not, again, with Quay Walker, evidently the Cowboys wanted him. But Dean, I kind of got myself worked up about a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm now, because it's happened, I very quickly moved on. I'm not sitting here panting or, oh my gosh, I can't believe, what are we ever going to do? Because the Cowboys have lots of options now in the draft. The more I start thinking about this draft and how edge heavy it is, how there are some really good linebackers in it, like, you have a lot of players that we've discussed already.
Sure.
That we've given you a number of players. I went back and looked, and I think there was a moment where I said that I would take Downs over David Bailey. And now, like, all the mock drafts are like, hey, David Bailey's going 2. But, again, position of need,
hard, yeah, I get you
know,
you.
Those things for me. But this thing has a lot of good players in it, so I still think there's some time.
I might skip to the next one.
I would.
Overreaction or reality, then. Trey Hendrickson is going to have to come off of his price because Adam Schefter said this morning that Hendrickson is talking with multiple teams. And he looks at Danielle Hunter getting $40 million, the person we just talked about, Jalen Phillips getting $30 million. And he's like, I'm in that range. I'm a $30 to $40 million guy. And he said, I'm not going to come off of that price. So overreaction, reality, he's going to have to.
He's going to have to, reality. Now, there might be a team that's starving for it and just needs it, and they're like, we have the money, let's go ahead and do it. At the moment, I wonder if the Cowboys are smartly not restructuring the contracts of Kenny Clark and making that happen, kind of forcing themselves to not have the money to go get to go do this, because if it was available, would they be like, screw it, let's just do it?
Yeah, even Gary.
Yeah.
Not with him either.
Yeah, that's where I'm looking at this thing kind of with him specifically, with this one specific edge rusher, he feels like he's in that place. And then teams are like, what about your back? You want to cash in. What are you? You know, you're at 31. You want to cash in, but you want a long-term deal? We're just not prepared to do that. I wonder if 3 years is too much for him, looking at him going 34 years old for you. Now, but that's the conversation. Kevin, the Texans have agreed to a 2-year, $13 million contract extension with Kai Fairbairn, their kicker. So, highest paid kicker in the NFL now, Kai Fairbairn.
So that's 6.5 per year. Okay.
Leaves are falling. All I'm saying.
I do kind of wonder if teams are going to be like, oh, man, Aubrey's better than that. Like, probably a lot better than that. And he's $1 million cheaper-ish.
Oh, we got to give up a second?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, do it, teams. You should. Alex, same question for you, overreaction or reality. Trey Hendrickson is going to have to come off of his number.
reality, which is weird because I just talked about how overinflated the edge market has gotten.
Except for him, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know why he's the odd man out. I know we just broke it down why in terms of age and the injury that popped up last year. It makes sense, but he was supposed to be the big ticket. You know, this offseason was, where is Trey Hendrickson going to go? And it's just a matter of how much is he going to get, not if he's going to be the top guy available and the top paid guy. I don't know what the holdup is. I really don't. And the optimist in me is like, maybe he is going to have to. And then that does allow Dallas to say, okay, he's coming off of his number. Maybe now we get involved. You know, I wouldn't mind if they get something sub $30 million per year. I'd be like, you won. Good job. Because I definitely thought he would be $31, $32
million. Now, this goes with something that we were talking about just a few minutes ago. Overreaction or reality, you aren't worried about the off-the-ball linebackers because we have DeMarvion Overshown.
Ooh.
That, if you could spell that out, that would be my answer.
I am absolutely worried. Somebody got really mad at us the other day saying DeMarvion Overshown was injury
DeMarvion
prone.
Overshown, unfortunately, is injury prone. That's a fact. If you can't see that, I don't know what to tell you. It doesn't matter if the injuries are different or if they're not reoccurring soft tissue. I get it. Weird stuff happens in the game. He has missed most of his time here, unfortunately, and it sucks. We love talking to him. That makes you injury prone.
Well, I don't just love talking to him. I love watching that dude play.
He's amazing.
He is so much fun to watch. You watch that dude's highlight reel, and you're just like, this is might be the greatest linebacker ever. But you don't get to see it enough because he's not on the field enough.
Right.
So I have to have another option to be able to do something with. If he's going to be healthy for the rest of his career, and that's the one dude that I can say, then I'll go ahead and add that to it. But no, man, I have to keep an eye out. I need to load up some linebackers. I need some guys. The position itself, just you're now, Kevin, you are more 3-4 than you are 4-3.
It does kind of feel like that.
And so you have to have bodies for those positions. Now they move some of their guys outside as edge guys. I get that. But you have to have the bodies to be able to capable of doing the job. If Overshown goes down, who do you trust now?
Right.
And you're telling me they're gonna be like, hey, Shamar James, you got this thing. You're all the linebackers. You're okay. We got questions there.
Alex, same question for you. Don't worry about off-the-ball linebackers. We got DeMarvion Overshown.
I hate that we're in this position.
Me too.
I really do. So that tells you all you need to know. It's an overreaction for me because, you, like Corey said, this is a different system that is asking a lot more out of that position. And I think I also just fall victim to the idea that I don't know what it is. If I just think of old school linebackers, I see the linebacker position and the star linebacker of your group as being that Iron Man that, you know, if he needs to put a neck roll on because he can't turn his head around anymore, he's going to do that. And he's still going to go play 98% of the snaps in that next game. You know, like, I just see them as being the, no matter what, up the middle, you're going to be sound. They're going to be available. Right now, I don't have that in anybody that I trust in terms of availability and talent. So that's where you're really banking on this draft, which I hate. This team does this to themselves every year. There's that one position that you're like, man, the draft better fall in their favor because they're going to ask some poor kid from, you know, the MAC to come in and play every single game and start every single game when he doesn't need to.
NFL overreaction or reality, teams should be clamoring to trade for Brian Thomas Jr. That was the report that came out yesterday, is that the Jags were willing to listen. Both the Jets and the Giants looked at trading for him at the deadline last year. The Jags weren't willing to deal. At a time where the Jags got a lot better, Brian Thomas's stats went way down after a spectacular rookie season.
Yeah, his catch percentage dropped. His targets dropped by like 40. His yards dropped by from 1282 to 700.
Yeah.
His touchdowns just fell off the map.
And it's not because they were bad.
No.
They were very good.
No, Jacksonville was a pretty good team last year overall, and his numbers just fell off the planet. What happened? Hold on. Let's go see, Kevin. Let's go see what we can figure out here. Who was their leading receiver last year? It was Parker Washington, who they distributed the ball more evenly last year. And I think whenever they look at Brian Thomas, they're just thinking to themselves, star receiver guy. But now we have this collection of receivers that can help us out.
And they care about running the ball.
They also just moved on from Etienne. So
they did.
But they have Tootin, so they're going to be fine there. This is an interesting thing. Clamoring. I say overreaction.
Okay.
That could be a Pickens type trade if you get it for a good deal, like a third or second or something like that, and he turns into a good receiver for you.
Now, Alec, this is the second time I've gotten picked off today by my specific wording. So let's see what you say. Overreaction or reality, team should be clamoring to trade for Brian Thomas Jr.
I'm actually going to go on the opposite side of the coin here and say reality. I do think that they should be because I see it as new staff, new play caller came in, different philosophy, and he just didn't add up with what they were trying to do. Like Corey said, they wanted to distribute the ball and be a lot more balanced on offense, and that offense really was pretty unpredictable. Like, Liam Cohen is awesome at drawing plays up and calling those plays and making it work because when I did watch the Jaguars play, it felt like anytime Trevor Lawrence dropped back, I didn't know where the ball was going to go. It was probably going to go somewhere for plus yardage, but I didn't know where. And I think that's just a philosophical difference compared to the last staff that heavily featured him. And I still think he has that skill set and he has that talent. And I think teams will quickly realize that, you know, whenever they start seeing the numbers go up in terms of bidding for him, because I think there will be a lot of interest. I think there's going to be at least one team out there that says, no, he's still an X receiver. He's still a number one guy. He just wasn't used like one, and it happens sometimes.
You guys want one more?
Well, from the 972, I'm trading CD for BT in a first.
Sure. If you can give me that deal, especially with Brian Thomas on his rookie contract.
Now we got three firsts.
Yes. Accepted. Kind of wish I wouldn't have flipped that contract switch. But you know what? I'll figure that out later. I'll figure that out. You guys want one more?
Let's do it.
All right. This one might be my most controversial of the day. Overreaction or reality, the Ravens' acquisition of Max Crosby is almost entirely offset by the loss of Tyler Linderbaum.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Overreaction.
Ooh.
Oh yeah, over. That's two different sides of the ball.
That's true,
and so you're better on one side, but you've lost significantly on the other. So, you mean offset in that? No, I don't think it brings back balance.
offset, I mean the gain of Max Crosby is almost entirely lost by losing Tyler Linderbaum.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. For the gotcha. Yes, I was thinking the Raiders. I was like, oh, the Raiders are doing.
And I should have redone this question. This question's stupid.
No. Yeah, I don't.
Oh, this was a good question.
I think that Lamar Jackson's offense can still be good.
Yeah.
They were desperate defensively to make something happen.
Very true.
I think that they are better.
Okay.
Not because of the loss to Linderbaum, but because they are better defensively now. That's an important factor for them. And I think that Lamar Jackson up the middle can make so many things happen as like a scrambling quarterback. You don't want him to. You'd prefer him to just be in the pocket and let it loose. But I still have questions on their receivers and the rest of that defense and how they can fix that. That being said, Mentor knows exactly what he wants, and he's played against Crosby plenty of times. So I think this works for them. I just don't think this makes the Ravens a favorite, if that's fair.
And this is already that's absolutely true from the 214. That is an overreaction from the 972. Linderbaum was the best player on that team. All right, Alec, overreaction or reality? The Ravens' acquisition of Max Crosby is almost offset by the loss of Tyler Linderbaum.
That's an easy reality for me.
Oh.
Because there's layers to it. One, I don't think that personnel defensively was as big of an issue, as massive of an issue as people made it out to be. I think their defensive play caller was terrible last year. I think that was a big part of it. I think their scheme sucked. And I thought their players weren't in great position. That's why I was happy that Zach Orr did not get the defensive coordinator spot. If he wanted to be a linebackers coach here, cool. That would have worked. But yeah, I don't need him calling plays around here because it was bad. But on top of that, I can't take you seriously as a franchise when you're giving away two first-round picks and decent first-round pick this year as well in a class that I think could help you a lot offensively in terms of wide receiver. When your number one wide receiver is Zay Flowers, you're giving away two first-round picks. The next 2 years, when you could have drafted somebody that was a true ball-hawking receiver, a high-point, physical, contested catch guy to really play on the outside and really expand the skill set of Zay Flowers. But instead, you say, nah, we're good. That, I can't take you seriously after that.
I wonder how much moving on from this dude affects Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
That's
a great question.
I know he can run between both tackles so well, and I wonder if they look at it and they're like, look, we're going to be fine because we still have Derrick Henry.
Sure.
Or if they looked at it and they're like, hey, Derrick Henry's good because we have this center up the middle. I don't know. I don't know exactly where I stand on that yet.
That is a good question. All right, can you go ahead and hit that intro because it's time for Masterpiece Theater. So last week, for the very first time ever, I saw what I think a lot of people will think is a fairly iconic, especially for the 80s, movie. And that has brought up the question, what was the last ass-kicking movie you saw and really, really liked? Can you go ahead and give me cut number 10? Because it was this movie right here.
Sorry, we're closed. Well, what are all these people doing here? Drinking and having a good time. That's why we're here. You're too stupid to have a good turn.
1989's Roadhouse, which has helped us all know that kicking can frequently be the solution to your problems. I had never seen that movie before. I thought it was very enjoyable. I thought it was it's just a lot of fun.
It's an awesome movie.
Yeah. I'm not looking to win any awards. I'm just looking to watch a movie that's going to have a really good time. And I thought Roadhouse was a blast. And so I know that's a way older one. Had I not seen that, it would have been the John Wick movies. Because I saw all of those for the first time in the last like 18 months.
Yeah.
I saw them all after Part 4 had already come out. So I know I was like really late to the party on that. But I'm going to go with Roadhouse as the last ass-kicking movie I saw and really, really liked.
And you said that's the original one.
Yes. I did not see the remake because, I mean, I hadn't seen the original. So I was like, I need to watch the original first.
So you haven't seen the remake yet then?
I can't imagine Gyllenhaal bringing the same heat as Patrick Swayze.
No. No, but he plays it differently.
Okay.
And it's kind of more like, it's a little subtle, in my opinion. He has some similarities, though.
Okay.
But he does a good job of backing up what he says to these dudes.
All right.
I think that's my favorite part, is when you see the guy that comes into the town, and he backs it up. He's just like, hey, look, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to break everybody's legs in here, and then I'm going to leave the room, and y'all are all going to be crying. Is this what you want? And they're like, you bring it. And then he does, and everybody's like, oh, wow.
Man, that original Roadhouse had some awesome old people in it, too, because Terry Funk's in that. Sam Elliott with the most luxurious old person hair you'll ever see. That's how I envisioned Alec aging.
Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I mean, he beats
not
up enough
fighting,
old people.
Not really fighting. He's actually, his job in this is not to be the UFC guy. It's just to act fighting.
Oh.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, whatever gets him off the street from beating up old people, I think we should all
gotcha.
Support.
I get it. Well, I guess for me, you know what? I'm sorry I picked the wrong one here, but let's go Cut 11.
There are three types of people who, as you say, flash cheese. People who don't know any better, people who are seeking to intimidate, and people like me who wish with every fiber of their being that someone would try to take it from them.
Now, that's the first one.
That's nobody, right?
That is nobody.
I have not seen the second one.
I just watched the second one recently, and they did not care to try, just like the first one, they didn't care to try and make it a plot-filled, fun movie that you're like, oh my gosh, the plot's so important to this. They said, give us a setting, and how much S can we blow up?
Sure.
And that was exactly...
That feels like a good sequel strategy.
How much ass-kicking can we do on this this duck boat? And they do a lot of that. So nobody
that's kind of the idea of this segment, right? Like, no, I'm not looking for any of these movies to win awards.
Nope.
Just tell me if you're going to blow stuff up or kick people, mm-hmm. and we got a movie.
And I think what I love about this, too, is Saul is his name,
yes.
I'm pretty sure.
That's... The guy from who plays Better Call Saul,
yeah.
Bob Odenkirk?
Yeah, Bob Odenkirk, if you will, otherwise known as Saul. He's like, it's not like he's going to just always be clean in these fights either. He loses teeth. He gets his nose broken. He gets in fights.
All right.
But they go at it, dude.
So that's a great question, Corey. And Alec, what do you want from your ass-kicking movie? Do you want a protagonist who can barely even be touched and is just going to put the beat down on? Or do you want a protagonist who's going to get knocked down, he's going to lose some teeth and some blood, but when all said and done, he's going to defeat you?
Yeah.
You want that second one?
I need a little bit of...
Adversity?
Yeah, I need something going on.
Okay.
I'll be honest, though. They have a surprised villain in this that I don't want to give away for you.
Is it a Gus Fring?
She was badass.
Oh.
Yeah, a surprise villain that I did not expect to be that cutthroat.
Okay. I'm going to read you some of these. Ooh, this is interesting. This is different, but I think this fits the bill. Top Gun Maverick. Man, that's an ass-kicking movie in planes. But you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the same basic...
I don't know that I've seen the end of that movie.
Oh,
I started watching it at like midnight one night, and
okay.
then you know how I watch movies.
Yes,
I'll watch 30 minutes of it, move on to the next 30 minutes. In this one, Kevin, I was watching it, and I think right around the end, I know they were flying at a mountain. Okay,
that is,
or a volcano or something.
It was a mountain. You're confusing what happened in Paradise with
and then I fell asleep and woke up, and Lady Gaga was singing, and I was like, this is a good movie. It was a fun movie. I just forgot.
From the 830, The War Machine, the new movie that is out on Netflix, I'm pretty sure that is the movie that Eric Chiafalo ran in here when we were about to do a commercial and yelled. So I believe that is Chiafalo's as well. We get The Raid from the 817, John Wick, and I have to respect this, from the 443, Kevin asked, what was the last Kick-Ass movie I watched? And I must say, Kick-Ass 2 was the last Kick-Ass movie I watched. That is a fair point.
You ever watch movies out of order?
No.
Alec?
You should have known that I would not.
No, because I'm mentally sane.
I just wonder if
watch them all in backwards.
Aiden's saying he does. And I'm trying to think of the last one I did this with. I probably don't know if I have, because I am kind of like that. I have to watch them in order. But I wonder if, I guess the Star Wars movies were out of order. But if I watch one before I watch the other one, does it give me this like complete new look on it?
Okay.
I don't know.
The one I will say is I think you could watch Rocky 3 and 4 on their own, because that's when they pivoted to, hey, we made your prestige movies. We're done with that. Now,
let's just
get to it, and we'll have homoeroticism running wild in part 3. Yeah, people talk about that beach volleyball scene in Top Gun. Yeah, that's fine. You give me Apollo Creed and Rocky Balboa running down the beach with their thighs quivering and everything, and their shorty shorts, and them hugging together. That's your scene.
Why are you talking about their thighs?
You watch that scene. It is impossible not to think about it.
The Carolina Panthers have released Ashawn Robinson.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I said it, Aiden. Go watch that scene. Pull it up on YouTube right now. You can multitask. Alec, where are you at with this? Because I'm sorry. I feel like we put you in the same situation as the intro to the show, where this bizarre non sequitur takes us into a spot where it's your turn, and we've really screwed it up.
Well, while you're busy trying to force people's thighs onto other people.
check it out.
I feel like this movie actually kind of would welcome that sentiment. One, this tells you how little I go to the movies or watch movies, because it's been a while. But two, ever since I saw The Batman, I've been craving like more edginess in comic book movies. And I got it in this.
Open the door.
I can't hear you over all the noble sacrifice.
Why are you doing this?
Because I'm Marvel Jesus.
So Deadpool versus Wolverine. I went into it with no expectations other than I'm going to laugh my ass off and I'm going to have a good time. But it gave me that feel of action, edginess, and I love the duality of Deadpool does all the cool like slow-mo action shots and stuff. Wolverine's just like, I have claws, I'm going to stab.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing pretty about it.
That intro scene's amazing.
The intro scene was amazing, where they fought each other.
The fight
was
scene
amazing.
In the van? Yeah.
Yes. The minivan was amazing, where they just maul all the other Deadpools and stuff. I was like, this is what I want, not all the time from Marvel and comic book movies, but every now and then, I need something that's like, oh, that's a lot. That's heavy.
Dude, when they maul all the other Deadpools, that scene, they go into a bus and all you see is just blood spatter everywhere. Yeah. Like, you're just like, what is happening in there? It must be amazing. Kevin, you and me and Carter saw that in the theater in California. And we walked out of there just like giddy kids. We were just like, that was so much fun. Everything we expected it to be, it was.
Look, for the 469. People still answering. Predators, Badlands. I've not seen that one. I think I've seen the other Predators.
I was told to watch it immediately. They said it was great.
And I saw Prey, too. From the 214, Kevin, calm down on the thigh love. I'll tell you this. Go find...
Can't love a man's thigh.
Just type in Rocky 3 beach scene. Don't worry. You'll get it. Just watch that and tell me that you didn't think about that at all. And I will issue my apology for talking about it too much. I think it's impossible to watch that scene without being, good Lord.
Equalizer from the 469.
I don't know if I've seen that. Denzel?
Is there two of them? Equalizer 2? I saw the first one. And Kevin, TikTok allows me to sometimes watch full movies in 30-second increments.
I'm worried about this trend.
I'm not on TikTok that much anymore. I don't know why. I got things to do. But it's allowed that. So there are times when I'll just continue scrolling through and be like, this scene is too good to stop watching right now.
Yeah.
Equalizer looks like it has some really good stuff in it. I think I've seen the first one. It was good.
Okay. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
And it's time for your level of concern. Next on The Fan.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.